transformed by truth, no stones to throw, living in grace and forgiveness. Today we're going to consider a powerful moment in the ministry of Jesus, captured in John chapter 8 verse 7. They kept demanding an answer, so he stood up again and said, "All right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone." This statement by Jesus is profound, not only in the context of the story, but in its broader implications for our lives. The context of grace and judgment. John chapter 8 verse 7. They kept demanding an answer, so he stood up again and said, "All right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone." This verse is part of the story of the woman caught in adultery. The Pharisees bring her to Jesus, trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him. Instead, Jesus turns the situation on its head by challenging them to consider their own sinfulness. The Greek word for sin used here is hamartia, which means missing the mark or failing in duty. This really underlines the universality of human imperfection. Romans chapter 3 verse 23. For everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. The Apostle Paul's words reinforces Jesus' statement by reminding us that we've all sinned and thus we are all unworthy to judge others. James chapter 2 verse 10. For the person who keeps all of the laws except one is as guilty as a person who has broken all of God's laws. This verse teaches us that breaking one law makes us guilty of breaking the whole law. It highlights the impossibility of achieving righteousness through our own efforts. Max Lucado once said, "God loves you just the way you are, but he refuses to leave you that way. He wants you to be just like Jesus." This really points to God's grace in accepting us as we are while calling us to transformation. Imagine standing in front of a mirror that reflects not just our outer appearance, but our inner flaws and mistakes. This is how God sees us, yet he loves us deeply and calls us to extend that same grace to others. The call to self-examination. John chapter 8 verse 7. All right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. Jesus' challenge to the accusers was not just about the woman's sin, but about their need to recognize their own sinfulness. The word for throw, balo, implies an act of force or judgment, suggesting that those who are sinless should be the ones to execute judgment. Matthew chapter 7 verses 3 to 5. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, "Let me help you get rid of the speck in your eye," when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite, first get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Jesus teaches that self-examination must precede any judgment of others. We must deal with our own sins before addressing others. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 5. Examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourselves. Surely you know that Jesus Christ is among you. If not, you've failed the test of genuine faith. The Apostle Paul urges believers to continually test and examine their own faith and conduct, ensuring it aligns with the teachings of Christ Jesus. Charles Spurgeon noted, "Beware of no man more than of yourself. We carry our worst enemies with us." This speaks to the importance of self-awareness in our spiritual journey. Consider an athlete who reviews their performance footage to improve. In the same way, we must review our spiritual lives, acknowledging our flaws and seeking God's help to overcome them. Extending grace and forgiveness. John 8 verse 7. All right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. Jesus' response to the accusers not only stops them from stoning the woman, but also opens a path for her restoration. Jesus does not condone her sin, but offers her a chance for a new life. The term for forgiveness, aphesis, in the New Testament denotes a release from bondage or imprisonment. It reflects the liberating power of grace. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 32. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Paul instructs believers to forgive others as God has forgiven them. He emphasizes the reciprocal nature of grace. And in Colossians 3 verse 13, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. This verse calls for a forgiving attitude, rooted in the recognition of God's forgiveness towards us. Corrie ten Boom, a Holocaust survivor, said, forgiveness is an act of the will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. This illustrates that forgiveness is a decision, not an emotion. Think of a prisoner set free from captivity. Forgiveness is the key that releases us from the prison of bitterness and resentment, allowing us to live in freedom and in peace. Let's apply what we've heard with some practical steps. First, let's commit to daily self-examination. Take a moment each day to reflect on your actions and your attitudes. Are you harboring judgment or resentment? Bring these before God in prayer, asking for His forgiveness and His guidance. Second, let's actively seek opportunities to extend grace and forgiveness. Perhaps there's someone in your life who you need to forgive. Remember, forgiveness is a process, and sometimes forgiveness is a daily decision. Ask God for the strength to forgive as He has forgiven you. Last, let's remember to love one another deeply. As Jesus said in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, so now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. In conclusion, John chapter 8 verse 7 reveals profound truths about grace, self-examination and forgiveness. Jesus' challenge to the accusers and his subsequent actions towards the woman caught in adultery teach us to recognize our own sinfulness, to extend grace and to forgive as we have been forgiven. Today, let's remember to examine our own hearts, to extend grace to others, and to forgive those who have wronged us. Let's live out these truths in our daily lives, reflecting the love and mercy of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and forgiveness. Help us to examine our own hearts and to extend the same grace and forgiveness to others. May we be transformed by your truth and live lives that glorify you. In Jesus' name, Amen. This week, may you be empowered by God's grace and be committed to extending that grace to others. May you truly be transformed by the Word of God.